from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. Let's pour up a big shot. The best. Tatted across his neck, Francisco Alvarez, my favorite Met. Put the team on his back, his first homer since July 26th. He thanked Carlos Mendoza for giving him the green light. I'm sitting in here during the break. I know they're not throwing him anything he can hit. I'm talking to Rami. I'm talking to Gallo. It's 3-0. I look over. Oh, my God. Game. Mets win. The first out of the next three where I need them to sweep. And the Yankees don't play a game. And they go from sharing first place to sole possession of first place. And if you haven't seen all the clips of Francisco Alvarez, like when we're talking about aura, when we're talking about moxie, swag, some people got it, some people don't. Like, that guy lit that stadium up. Like, that guy got everybody out their seats. That swing, as soon as he drops his bat, he points to the ground. He says, this is my LFGM. And LGYM. Let's go Yankee Mets. Yanks fans from Mets Seas, 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking your calls till 12. And then Gallo will rock and Rami will talk. And they can tell you, you know, about being in here during the break. The video is out on WFAN. It's good with just me. But the whole thing I just said, I was like, I thought we would have, if we could have had the shot of the whole studio and two Yankee fans and a Mets fan reacting to the walk-off, I think that would have been great. But I'll take it. I'll take the clip of me because you get a real reaction. And I had somebody call. How are you rooting for the Mets? Easy. Easy. Let's go Mets. I'm a Mets fan today, tomorrow, not forever, but definitely Wednesday. 888-808-1019. Dan is in Jersey. Dan, you're on the Fan. Danny, you're live. Going once.
Hey, Keith.
There he is. What's up, Dan?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, definitely not Dan. It's Tim, but yeah.
Oh, great guy. I don't know. Alex just gave me the hands up. He said, I don't know. He wrote it as Dan. He thought you said Dan on the phone.
Yeah, that's
the mix up. Dan, Tim. It's Tim. Tim from Jersey on the Fan. Let's go.
All the same, my man. I love listening to you talk. Doing a great job. Yankees fan personally, but just kind of want to get your take on Evan calling out being sick and then also scoring games in his bed and then also it being upside down. And then I think he went to the Fanatics as well. So just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Evan is an interesting cat, man. Like, you know what I said about Evan over the course of this summer, right? Evan gets a show on Afternoon Drive, where his name leads the show, Evan and Tiki. And Evan goes to jury duty, he goes on multiple vacations, and he gets sick, where he gives up his show. He gives up the power chair. And it turns into Morash and Tiki. It turns into Lightning and Loogie, Tiki and Tommy. I'm like, bruh, what are you doing? The day Hawk Tua girl was here, I'm like, we needed Evan. Evan was sick. But yeah, he rallied and he popped up for Fanatics Fest. And I don't know. The guy never misses a Rico Bronya, and he never misses scoring a game. And I'm sure he's coming out with My Mets Bible Part 2. Evan Roberts is an interesting cat. Shout out to Evan, wherever Evan is. He just finished doing a live Rico Bronya with Off. That's where he is. Hopefully he's going to bed. And take some elderberry. Take some Airborne. Like we need you for the rest of this run, Evan. We need you in here.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Keith. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for the call, Tim. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I'm like, Evan, where you at, bro? You get from Carton and Roberts, you get the name Afternoon Evan. You get to take the show name before Tiki. I mean, logic would tell you that the show name should lead with Giants Hall of Fame, should be Hall of Fame, best running back, Tiki Barber. It should be Tiki and Evan. But because of Evan's time and tenure here, he's a WFAN legend. Whatever you think about Evan or not, he's the time that he's put on air. And like before I even got here, I had Evan on my Nets podcast. I told you guys all the time, like driving Lyft Uber, I used to be on Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe, like it is what it is. You might think Evan is a nerd. You might not like his voice. You might not like he wears the basketball shorts. Lugie says he doesn't wear deodorant. He scores baseball games, whatever. Like, as far as in here, Evan is in the pantheon of voices that you've heard for years. He's had great shows, great takes. This summer, I'm like, Evan, I'm looking forward to hearing your takes on the Mets. And he just kept giving it up. I'm like, the Mets are on a miraculous run. Where is Evan? It's Morash and Tiki. And then it's Lugie and Tiki. I'm like, Evan, it's your show. It's Evan and Tiki. Evan, come on, bro. I'll give you some tips, man. I barely sleep at night, and I figured out how to have a baby, who the babies are always sick, and like keep your health together. Fight. Your immune system has to fight. And then the vacations, the weekends, man. I know you got to take family vacations, but selfishly, as someone who listens to WFAN all day like you guys, I want to hear Evan's baseball takes. I want to hear Evan's sports knowledge. Evan is an encyclopedia of baseball and sports knowledge. I want to hear his takes specifically on the Mets. And so I've been listening to the Rico Bronya podcast. I've even been on the Rico Bronya podcast. One's on the clock. I'll make a wish. I wish for Evan to be able to string together some consecutive shows where he's healthy and he's not on vacation. He's not on jury duty, so that we can get his perspective. I think it helps the whole entire WFAN. Just my two cents. Rich is in Brick, New Jersey. Rich, you're on the Fan.
Keith, how are you doing tonight?
All right. How are you?
Happy and ticked off at the same time. First off, congratulations and thank you, Mets. I'm not afraid to say it. Diehard Yankees fan.
Yep.
We'll take it for the Mets any way we can get it.
Yep. Thank you. Thanks for the help.
And now for the ticked off Rich version of the program. Number one is stop using your phrase, piss it on my lake and tell me that it's raining. You cannot tell me that Clay Holmes was pitching well when he gives up all that crap and you constantly running him out there and you know it's a disaster. Get Clark Schmidt back in that lineup. So that way we have another person that's in there. Take Nestor, put him in long relief where he should be all this time, along with Clay Holmes, put him in like sixth inning, and then please, for the love of God, put Heal as your closer.
Yeah, at this point I'm fine with it. I'm right there with you, Rich. I'm tired of hearing, well, you know, he had some good stuff. Well, you know, I think he pitched well, where, you know, one or two pitches go his way, or, you know, in that one at bat, you know, he was up in the count. It was, you know, I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Like there are children. The kids are done with Clay Holmes. And the kids don't need to know all this stuff to know this isn't good. So, like you said, there are plenty of options. Also, Cody Poteet is coming back. That's a guy that the couple starts that he made, pretty good. Gives you an option in the rotation.
Gives you options.
Can he come out of the bullpen? I don't want to hear that Clay is the closer, Clay is the only option. No, that is false. That is not true. Clay was the only option. It's run its course.
We have 40 games left, and these 40 games are going to decide a lot. You can't be screwing around. Speaking of screwing around, here we go. Back with Boone. We have three really good hitters on this club. We know who the first two are. The third one, well, that's Austin Wells. And Boone is screwing with the lineup. He is basically loyal to a fault, and that loyal is going to make him die on the sword, because you cannot put a person that is hot as heck, hitting home runs, getting the job done, and is also a better defensive catcher than what he was rolling out for the past few games there.
He's a rookie, Rich. It's a small sample size. They're going to lean on experience. Veterans, as they do with DJ LeMahieu, as they do with, like, you've seen this before. They're going to play the guys that have played more. They're going to play the guys that they feel like have the experience. Austin Wells is a rookie. Austin Wells, as great as he was in the month of July, they're going to cool him right off right now. It's Trevi's back, and they feel like Trevi, as a former All-Star, Platinum Glove catcher, the pitch framing, the clubhouse. Judge came out right after the first game. You know, Trevi had that double. Good. You know, Judge came out and talked about how happy they are that he's back. Like, what Wells did in that small sample size did not earn him anything over Jose Trevino.
I wasn't even shocked. I knew he was going to do it.
I don't agree, because I think a lot of the kid, at first I was like, there was so much hype about what Wells was supposed to be. Where is it at? When he was forced to be the everyday catcher, when he was forced to be the cleanup hitter and protect Judge, he didn't fold under that pressure.
No. He stepped up, and you can't give him everyday bats and then all of a sudden cool his tail down and not give him anything and do this platoon thing. And here's a spoiler alert. I'm betting dollars to donuts that once Rizzo comes off the IL, that they're going to be doing the same with him and sticking him back in that first base.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for the call, Rich. Yeah, they'll get Ben Rice up out of here, and then it'll be, I guess, Rizzo and DJ leaning on the old guys, leaning on the 35-year-olds. I don't know. Supposed to get younger, faster, more athletic. But you got a younger, faster, more athletic guy in Oswaldo Cabrera, and you can't wait to sit him down. You can't reward him ever. He does something good, you got to sit him down the next day. You can't ever say, hey, we're going to let you rock for a little bit. Beginning of the year, DJ gets hurt, we don't love the guy. Let's trade for John Birdie. Where has John Birdie been? Is John Birdie coming back yet? Come on. We need all the help we can get, because the team is the team. Up in Washington Heights, Philip on the Fan. What's up, Phil?
Good evening, Keith. I have two questions about the Yankee bullpen. If you were to change the closer, who do you think would have the best demeanor to fill that spot?
Right now, I just going off last night, when we're talking about demeanor, Luke Weaver, off the field, he's a jokester. He's got this type of, like, humor and delivery where I don't think he takes anything too seriously. And when I watch him pitch, he's very calm. I don't understand why he can't potentially be an option. You already use him in the eighth inning. If he's the setup guy, like, why not see what he can do further into the ninth inning? If he struggles, then bring Clay Holmes in. Jake Cousins is a guy that many people have mentioned because of his swing and miss type of stuff. I don't know if he's got the fortitude for it, but you find out in the next 40 games before we get to October, where the lights are brighter and everybody's watching and it's super intense and there's a lot of pressure. At this point,
yes.
I'm cool with anybody but Clay, because, like, you have to stop it, because we've seen too much bad. Nobody feels good. I don't even think he feels good. I think it's now mounted up to the point where he goes out there knowing there's a ton of pressure. They should have won that game last night. That was the perfect spot for him to go out and be like, let me get these three outs. Him and the defense behind him, he wasn't able to do it.
Yes, may I ask one other question about the bullpen?
Yeah.
Would you stick Clay Holmes in maybe the seventh or eighth just to see if it's something psychological about the ninth, or maybe he just can't pitch? Maybe he's just an ineffective pitcher.
Yeah, I think that you find a softer landing spot for him, which we've seen hundreds of times where they say, okay, this guy, the pressure of the ninth inning's too much. Let's see if we can build his confidence in the sixth, seventh, eighth. But they refused to do that. Nope, we made him our closer. Nope, he took the job from Aroldis Chapman. He's been an All-Star closer for 2 years out of the last three. No, he's our guy. I just think it's foolish to stay stuck on stupid. It's not working. If it was working more than it wasn't working, then I would get it. So I don't know. I'd rather see Mark Leiter Jr. hasn't been great, but I'd rather see Mark Leiter Jr. than Clay at this point, because I'm just like, I'm tired of the same style that he pitches, like pitching to contact. Guys are going to hit. So many times he doesn't know where the ball is going. He's wild. It's like, that can't be your closer. It's too much of a roller coaster. Cardiac Clay, do you have shortness of breath and trouble breathing every time Clay Holmes gets on the mound?
And one other question. Actually, it's a comment. I hope the Yankees really do sign Soto, because I've seen a lot of baseball. This is the best 1-2 combination I've seen since Mantle and Maris, by far.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Phil. I mean, signing Clay Holmes might make it tough to sign Juan Soto. Jason is in Edison. What's up, Jason? You're on the Fan.
Yep. Hey, I would just like to start with talking about morale. It's such a big thing in today's game. And the Yankees really don't have anything to bank on for right now. The Mets, obviously, off their walk-off win with Francisco Alvarez sending the ball deep into the night, now they're looking up. It's something that is a driving force. They're looking to see what's next. And they're, of course, looking for fighting and looking to be in the playoffs. So I'm looking at the other side of town. I'm looking at the New York Yankees. And as a kid who really, really wants to see them win, and I've really never seen it ever in my entire lifetime, I really, really, really want to see them win a World Series. And this bullpen makes it really hard for me to envision that.
Yeah, I understand, bro. Like, if it's not Judge hitting a home run or Soto hitting home runs, where is that energy, right? Like, if it's not Garrett Cole dominating, where is that energy? If it's Rodon on the mound and he's struggling, there is no morale. There is no belief. There is no team chemistry. There is no TWTW, the will to win. In a game like last night when Marcus Stroman goes out there and holds, and everybody holds, everybody does their job, Canely, Weaver, you know, a quick way to lose morale as they're packing up, right, after all those Little League World Series kids gave them that energy and it was fun to play there. It sucks the air out of the room to go to Clay Holmes and Clay Holmes can't get three outs as your closer, as an all-star closer. So, you know, when you talk about the fun that the Mets have, they have belief.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in each other. They have, you know, even through their struggles, I have a ton of respect for how the Mets bounced back from the collapse against Oakland, right? They won the series against the Marlins. Mm-hmm. They were this close to sweeping. It's tough to sweep teams. Now, look how they started off this series against the Orioles. They are fighting for their lives. They believe they're a postseason team. And talent-wise, they should have enough to potentially do that.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees, talent-wise, should have enough to potentially win the World Series. But it's going to be little nonsense like upper management and management staying stuck on their own decisions and saying, nope, we're going to keep banging our heads against the wall till this work. That's going to bring the team down. That's going to bring morale down. It's going to eventually get to a point where guys are speaking out against it. And I hope that doesn't happen in October because it'll be too late.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to bring up was the closer situation. I know it's a hot topic. A lot of people have been talking about it tonight, but I've heard things about how it was in the 90s with, like, the Sandman, Mariano Rivera. He just shut them down. It would be, like, you could look away and you'd automatically see, like, an out or two on the board because you knew you had trust in your bullpen and you knew you would do something to help the team. He wasn't going to stop until he had three outs on the board and Frank Sinatra was playing. That was when he knew.
You know what? I try not to talk about Mo, and I love Mo. Arguably, you know, one of my favorite Yankees ever. Unanimous, like, Hall of Famer, GOAT. But he wasn't perfect either. He broke my heart as well. And it's hard to be a closer. And right now in modern-day baseball, there are no Mariano Riveras. No one has one. There's not one.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It is tough to go out there and get those last three outs. But the Yankees have made it harder with the guy that they've chosen to pitch in the ninth inning more than anybody else. So we don't need to have a Mariano. I saw Rafael Soriano go out there and untuck it. He was pretty decent. And Chapman has his bad moments in our history, but Chapman went out there and was lights out. We've seen other guys, Andrew Miller, Betances, guys in recent history go out there and get it done. The Yankees need to have better. The analogy I've been making is they have Centurion Ferrari in Juan Soto batting number two. And then they have this all-time MVP mutant robot X-Men of a Lamborghini batting number three in Judge. And a couple other shiny toys. They live in a mansion, which is the New York Yankees brand and Yankee Stadium. But when they go to sleep at night, they're sleeping on a futon. They're sleeping on a little fold-up cot, which is Clay Holmes, and that's not good enough.
Yeah, one more thing I'd like to say about the Yankees. For one, I really, really, really would like to see someone other than, I know this is a really big thing, it's been happening a lot lately, but in the Detroit Tigers series, the only person that really did anything was Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. It looked same after the month.
Not even Juan Soto. Oswald Peraza in that first game hit that home run to crack things open.
Yeah.
Then Judge was like, all right, I'm going to get some. And then, you know, Judge is going to get on base. That's why I call him a mutant. He's different. He's an X-Men in baseball. Like, he's going to get his, but it's a team game. You got to have the whole team. Jason, get some rest, buddy. It's almost midnight. Thanks for the call.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I got like 20 minutes. Let's get right back into it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Another 5-hour KM to AM. This is my last little run. 888-888. I don't know. 877-337-6-6 and two more sixes. Just as I had my own catchy way to say the WFAN number, we changed it to this Daniel Jones, Aaron Rodgers number, and there's no cool way to say it. I know BT says 888, but I'm not talking about Triple H. Did you guys see Triple H at Fanatics Fest? Alex, you gotta look up. Yo, Triple H came to Fanatics Fest and did his walkout on the WWE walkout thing.
Oh, I did see that, actually.
Nobody could do it better than him. A bunch of people tried.
I'm not a wrestling guy.
I'm a Triple H guy, though.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
The Generation X. Break it down. Like that was my era of WWF into WWE. I'm getting back into it now. After seeing, like, what went on at Fanatics Fest and, like, the fact that WWE was involved, I'm like, all right, I got to start watching wrestling again. Like, there's just so many wrestlers that I'm not familiar with. And their fans are out there dressed up as them, you know, doing their walkouts. That walkout thing was sick. My boy Joel, he's like, yo, you doing? And I'm like, I was embarrassed. I was like, I don't know who to pick. I'm like, I don't know any of the current wrestlers. He's like, well, do The Rock. I'm like, I don't even know what The Rock's. Is The Rock still... The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth. I don't know. I got to get back into the WWE. I'm working on it. My son, I can already tell the way he wrestles with me, the way he bounces off the couch. I'm like, this guy's definitely going to be into wrestling. So give me about 4 years. I'll know. All right, back to the phones. We're talking sports here. WWE counts as sports. It double dips into Comic-Con, into Fanatics Fest, but it counts as sports. They had a good showing this past weekend. Nobody on the phone wants to talk about that, though. They want to talk about the Mets and the Yankees and the Jets and the Giants. Let's do it. Peter in Waterbury, Connecticut. You got it.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Big hey, beer. My guy. What's up? I'll see you at the game tomorrow.
Yep. Going to be in section 204, row 4, seats 3 and 4.
Okay. I'll be in 203 for the roll call, which is like... Row 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 203, black dude, Yankee hat, long hair out the back. I don't know what I'm wearing yet, but, like, I'm not hard to find in Yankee Stadium.
All right. Well, we'll maybe take a trip over there and do you for roll call.
Yeah, make sure you're in your seat by the start of the first inning. What I always tell people is by the time you hear Shook Ones – By the time you hear "To All the Killers," well, they don't play the lyrics, but as soon as you hear that Shook Ones Mob Deep beat, you know, like you should be in your seat and ready to go. So, I'll see you tomorrow. I think if you're in 204 and you're there for the first inning, I'm not hard to find.
I'll be there in 204, and I'll look out for you.
Looking forward to meeting you and your lady as well.
You're right. All right. And then I'll be wearing my old-time Yankee hat.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it. Last time I was looking for an old Yankee hat, and I couldn't find you. I didn't spot it.
I heard you call my name, but I looked around. I couldn't see anybody I recognized. And, you know, but, hey, next game, this game here is going to work.
Yeah, tomorrow. See you then.
You got it, brother. All right, take care.
Yeah, I think the Dodgers series, I was looking for Peter out there. I went to, like, the front of the section, and I'm like, Peter. But, I forget sometimes it's a public place. It's a ballpark because 203 is home. 203 is where the gang is, where the fam is. And we done that so many times. You know, it's funny because I see people, like, they're like, nervous in Yankee Stadium in front of a bunch of people. Or they're, like, awkward. Or, like, they don't know how to act. And I'm like, the people that are in that section are comfortable in that section. It is not like being in Yankee Stadium. You're in the bleachers with the creatures. I'll see the gang tomorrow. 888-808-1019. And the Yankees better come to play. And if it's a tight game, which it very well could be against the Cleveland Guardians, they better not play around and tell me this is our closer. This is what it, like, they're going to have people booing, people revolting. It can't happen. Ross in Bergen County on the Fan. He's pumped up about those Mets.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man? It's about damn time, man. Listen, first off, real quick, great meeting you over the weekend, man. And we were just talking a little Fanatics Fest. You know, it was crazy. I was even tweeting at you, too. I didn't think the Fan was going to get anywhere near as much traction as it did. I mean, the second me and my dad walked in, I heard the Town Fair Tire ad blasting through the speakers. That's how loud they were. I mean, that was nuts. I mean, they kind of had to. They had you guys right by the 40-40 club. For anybody that was there, they know the layout. But, I mean, they kind of had to with all the music and all the surrounding, sections blasting their music. So it was awesome, man. Good meeting you. I met Benigno, Licata, Anthony Gallo. I know he's coming up soon. It's good meeting him. So all around, it's an awesome experience.
Yeah, shout out to everybody that helped, from Steve to Jess, all the digital guys, Cap, Tom Izzo, Gallo, Dave Marinick, Ryan Hurley. Like, I was so proud of the setup. It was right in the middle. And, yeah, even this girl from my high school pulled up. She was like, I didn't know you were doing this. She's like, but I walked in and I could hear your voice. And I just kept walking around until I found, like, WFN was right in the middle. I think we held it down. And, yeah, I told you, don't underestimate the Fan. Like, we have more fans than you realize. I had a good group. Yeah. When I started, the amount of people that were there for the start of my show that stayed through my show, the amount of autographs and pictures, man, I was taken aback by it. I'm still humbled by it. It was amazing. And yeah, great meeting you. Ross in Burton County's like 6'5". And he's a high schooler.
It's unbelievable. The people I walk past in the hallways, I don't know how I got this nickname, but they all call me Jokic, and I think it might have to do with the height and I guess like my slow-toned demeanor. So always when they call me Jokic, I say, why so serious? I don't know what the hell else to say. But I mean, I embrace it. But, you know, all in all, and I'll say this, too. You're just talking about the wrestlers. It was unbelievable. Like, with the photo ops, the autographs, the wrestlers flew to being sold out. I mean, they were off the site in, like, 5-10 minutes. They had to restock, I guess, or photo ops or restock, I know, you know, I guess, capacity for them. They were the first ones sold out. It was crazy.
Hulk Hogan's line
showed out.
It was Jalen Brunson and Hulk Hogan were the most popular guys. Their lines were ridiculous. Yeah. Hulk Hogan's line took up the whole wall. Jalen Brunson's line looked like a festival concert. It looked like if they filled out a field.
Well, Hogan's and I, he's got the name brand, and you know, there's kind of different generations or multiple generations with him, you know, the parents, even kids too, with the name brand. Even some current ones, like I know you're, and I'm not even as big of a wrestling fan as I once was once too. I know, like, Liv Morgan, I know, is big because she actually grew up in my hometown, you know, small little Elmwood Park here. It's like the only representation we get. And she's recent, she's got a belt currently. She had a line through the door because when I was waiting for her, I met AP, Adrian Peterson. Like, they were calling like 10 different lines for her. And just overall, and like you saw, guy Cody Rhodes was insane. You know, all the little kids, big Cody Rhodes fans. And another thing he brought up, too.
They
like
put the up the number one for Cody Rhodes? Is that his thing when they put the finger in the air?
No, that's a Roman Reigns thing.
It's Roman Reigns like is another like one that is super popular, too.
Yeah, I don't think he was there, but he's
he
like
wasn't there, but
the
they
now.
Were doing his walkout, and I saw little baby's kids were all, they were requesting him. They were all putting the one in the air.
That was the, it was funny. I don't want to go too long. I know you got a couple other calls. Real quick, well, two more quick things. One, you were talking about how accessible people were. Not so much accessible, but like KD walked right past us, like in the middle aisle. I saw Jay-Z. I saw you following Drewski, and there was a whole mob. I think Travis Scott. They were just like walking through the people, albeit mobbed by security. You couldn't get
you
them.
You still can see them. Like
they were
I got to. I wanted to
it
just see Allen Iverson. I was about 10 feet away from Allen Iverson. I'm not trying to touch him. I'm just trying to get a video. I'm just trying to get a selfie. Like
well,
and
you're
you can,
right there.
You can do that. Yeah.
Right, and one other quick thing. And I appreciate the time, but, you know, with the stage thing, I mean, me and my father, we heard The Rock's intro cue, and, you know, throughout the day, you hear The Rock, and you hear Roman Reigns, John Cena, maybe. You hear it throughout. And then I heard The Rock's music, and then I heard just an uproar of applause that I hadn't heard the whole day. I was like, holy F, is The Rock actually here? Because people were swarming to the stage, ourselves included, because The Rock was from when I was into him as a little kid. He was big back then. And, you know, 10 minutes we see people walking back. I got disappointed. And I think it was one of those people because they had, like, if you dressed up, best dressed up person got something. I think the guy called
a doppelganger.
It was some guy dressed up as The Rock. Yeah, I said, you got to be kidding me, man. I mean, it worked. He had to have the place rocking, but that was funny.
Not for nothing. I was in a focus group with Michael Rubin the last day, the last morning. They just wanted to hear feedback on, like, what was bad, what was wrong. And we talked about the doppelgangers and the lookalikes because, like, there was a couple Macho Mans and a couple other, I forget who, but I was like, it's kind of a good idea to have the lookalikes because it throws off the crowd. And they were talking about having, like, a Tom Brady lookalike. And, you know, I think, you know, this is something that's going to be a part of New York sports fans' culture. Like, we're going to every summer talk about, yo, Fanatics Fest is coming, Javits Center every August, and it's just going to get bigger and better. I can't wait. I got something to shoot for next year. Next year I'm going to be popping enough to get into the 40-40 club. I didn't step foot in there this year.
That was hectic as hell. But listen, it sounds like they're pretty much just a foregone conclusion. They're bringing it back. And I heard they're going to L.A. too. So
I was confirmed.
I'm not a Fanatic, so this ain't a paid vouch, but it was beyond what I thought it would be. And I can't wait to go again, man. But I know you got some other callers, so appreciate you giving me the floor and talk to you soon, man.
Thanks for the call, Ross. Yeah, again, I know I got on Friday night and I was telling you guys, like, for $56, I asked them in the focus group about the price point. And they said they talked to the people that did Comic-Con there. I think Comic-Con is more than $56 per day. And that's low. For what you can, everyone in there has a phone. What you're able to get video and picture-wise on your phone is worth the $56, in my opinion. I'm speaking for myself, whether I'm me or whether I'm not me. Obviously, I got in free, but I also, like I said, I didn't pay for parking. I parked on the street. I parked all the way down. The last day I parked over by 36 and 8th and walked all the way down. I'm going in for free, bro. But, like, the $56 to see all of these people, if you're a fan like I am of sports, if you're a fan of radio, TV, podcast, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, everybody's in there. Rappers, streamers, wrestlers, former football players, former basketball players, former baseball players, hockey players. I saw so many different people that my head was spinning and people that I wasn't even thinking of because I didn't really look it up. So shout out to Fanatics and Fanatics Fest. I look forward to it for years to come. And I feel extremely blessed that WFAN asked me to be the only solo show. I was the only show there that didn't have two hosts. And I was tired. But I knew, like I always tell you guys, yo, run through the tape. I'm like, I just got to run through the tape. I'm exhausted, but you're supposed to be exhausted at the end of the race. And I ran through the tape, and I got through the 12-3 show by myself, no internet, no calls really. And then during breaks, not being able to like put my thoughts together, during breaks, taking pictures and selfies, whatever, I wouldn't change anything about it. It was amazing. So if I met you there, thank you for being nice. Everybody was so kind. There was not one hater, never met a hater. Everybody was super, super positive and took pictures and asked questions. And Like, the fans that we have for WFAN, it's crazy. Like, people just swarmed that area and stayed there. And right behind us was Jay-Z and all these celebrities, but we had such a strong group. It was awesome. Back to the phone. Mario in Long Beach. He knows what to do. You got it, bro.
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Bringing it home, but still, you know, turn the page back to what was over the weekend. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, sounds really exciting, man. And that's a tribute to you that you were the only solo show to be there. So I'm sure that makes you feel good.
Yeah. It was a blessing. I never did a live show. And the fact that I am a Gary V guy and, like, Gary V saying, quit your job, or saying things like, if you're good enough, put yourself out there. And, like I literally took his words as a challenge back in 2018, and I've always wanted to meet him to tell him, and I got to do that live on WFAN at the Javits Center for Fanatics Fest. I knew I'd meet him one day, but there was no way in my wildest dreams I could envision that.
Yeah. So I just want to talk a little bit about the Giants. Daniel Jones, you hit the nail right on the head. You know what it really is? You said he runs straight. He just doesn't have ability to do any better. He can't do any better. That's who he is, you know?
I mean, he's a decent runner of the football, but he's not a natural runner of the football, right? Guys like that naturally can run the ball, they have that, like, stiff arm, that bop in them, that shake in them.
Yeah. I mean, he's a big guy. He should be able to do what...
When he takes off, he's running for his life.
Yeah, and he gets nailed because, like you said, he's like a target. You could see him standing there, and you're rolling into him, man. It's not like a... I mean, Josh Allen's a big guy, too, but he's going to hit you. He's going to stiff arm you.
He's delivering the blow. He's looking for contact because he's a big dude like that. But Daniel Jones now has to play this delicate game of, like, He's a threat to run, but he's got to protect himself. And he can't be thinking about protecting himself. It's football. You got to go out there and play like you're made of steel, but also be smart about it, not taking hits.
And you know what it is with the Giants, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but very bad decisions by management. I mean, first of all, they could have had Micah Parsons, right? And they traded down, and they could have had him, right? And then when you make a mistake, like, remember Galladay, that receiver that they went after?
I remember all of them, yeah.
He had 4 years, $76 million, $40 million guaranteed, didn't even play. Why? Hamstring problems.
It was a bad move.
Hamstring problems. No, but to me, whenever you have hamstring problems numerous times, you don't pick somebody up like that because they're going to have it again. So what do? They do the same thing with Darren Waller. Oh, he's great, great, great. Hamstring problems. What happens? Hamstring problems. Didn't they learn from the other guy? Same thing. You don't pick up a guy who's had hamstring problems because it's a soft tissue injury and it's going to come back, right?
Yeah, they learn now. They wasted a ton of money on him. They've got better receivers now, younger receivers now. Let's see how it looks.
I mean, that they really need to make better decisions. And even Jones. I mean, Jones... I don't think, was he projected to even go in the first round by anybody? I don't think so, right?
I mean, that was just a weird year. You had the Mighty Mouse and Kyler Murray getting drafted number one. Dwayne Haskins, rest in peace, was rumored to potentially go before Jones. I remember the Giants having the pick where they got Dexter Lawrence. They got the pick right there. But there was a school of thought that if they didn't take Daniel Jones at number six, he wouldn't be available, so they needed a quarterback. And Gettleman was in full bloom love and said he wanted the guy, and here we are now. Gettleman, this isn't his team, and I think this is the last step in Brian Daboll and Joe Shane seeing, okay, I feel like they defaulted into what they had to pay Daniel Jones, but they gave themselves an out in this contract. This is the last year. How long is the leash going to be? How many games are you going to run him out there if he's not effective, if he's not...
And think about it. What kind of... he played for Duke. What kind of a college is that? Where you gonna? Did he even... That's not even Division III.
No. Thanks for the call. Now I got to let you go, Mario. Don't say that. Duke, known mostly for their basketball, they're Division I. My sophomore year at James Madison, we played Duke. They're in the ACC. They play Florida State. They play Clemson, Georgia Tech, Louisville. They play Division I teams. but they're usually getting whooped. They're usually, you know, getting beat up because they're not a football school. And Daniel Jones, you know, he had to overcome a lot at Duke, not having the better line, not having the better skill position players. He was a standout quarterback, which, like, you go to Duke, I think you're a smart guy. I think you got to be smart. I'm sure the classes that you're in at Duke, everybody around you is smart. You can't be a dummy to get through that. But football-wise, just like, I don't know, why are we drafting anyone out of Duke in the top 10 picks? You just don't do that. It's a basketball school. You know? We'll see what Cooper Flagg looks like not too long from now. I grew up a Duke basketball fan. Oh, my God, I can't stand this guy. What a front runner. Did this guy just say he grew up a Duke basketball fan? Yeah. Yeah. They won. Nobody was there to tell me that people hate Duke. But Daniel Jones, like, he played against Division I competition. That has nothing to do with right now. We have enough of an NFL Daniel Jones to look at. Where he went to college doesn't matter. And Josh Allen played at Wyoming. That's closer to Division III. You know, and look at Josh Allen now. Here's the three things it's about for Daniel Jones. How long is the leash on this guy? How long are they going to let him play if he's not? Because just what he showed in, I know it's practice, it's preseason, but that's in his DNA. That's in his football brain. That is part of his game. And it came out in the preseason, in his first live action since November. So how long is the leash if he still has that, if he's still doing that stuff? I don't know. I don't think it can be long. I don't think Dable can take it. And coming off a down year last year, like, I don't think they're going to win a lot of games. I think they could easily be a fourth-place team in the NFC East with the Commanders additions and new head coach and the quarterback that they drafted. So, one, how long is the leash? Two, does he stay healthy, right? Does he stay healthy? And that clause in the contract, that's a real thing. Does he stay healthy? And you know, the last part is, what is Drew Lock? Drew Lock getting hurt, that hurts his development here. That hurts his learning of the system. That puts a learning curve on his progression. I don't think Drew Lock is what I originally thought he could be when they went out to get him. And in the same vein, what is Tommy DeVito? I know there's a lot of fans for him, but, like, can they actually challenge a Daniel Jones? Like, what if Daniel Jones is just mediocre? Will there be rumblings of Tommy DeVito or Drew Lock? I don't know. It's yet to be seen. We're coming up. We're coming up. After this week, there's 2 weeks left to the NFL. It'll be here that fast. 888-808-1019. That's all my time. It happens just that fast. But stay on the line. Stay on the line. You guys should rock with Gallo and Rami. I'm sure they're going to have a great show through the night. And I can't thank you guys enough for rocking with me, listening to me, whether it was 5 hours or 5 minutes. And always a big shout out to the people that don't call. They just listen, they enjoy the show. I met a lot of you guys over the weekend. Like, I never call, but appreciate your show, and I appreciate you. That's it. I'll be back after the Yankee game tomorrow. I'm going to the game, so I'll see if you're there. I'll be back after the Yankee game the next day, and then we've got another 5 hour KM to AM before I go to Atlanta Thursday. Don't go anywhere. Pico de Gallo, next.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN, New York.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.